My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I don't think Michael's ever done drugs.
It's Mike Shope.
I don't know if anyone's ever offered him any.
Let's go over some of the symptoms of marijuana use, shall we? You tell me who this sounds like.
It's the Bulldog.
Slow moving. Inattentive. Dull. Constantly snacking. Shows a lack of motivation.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Greg Rousseau later this hour. Right now, Scott Barrett from FantasyPoints.com. I would venture to say nobody writes as thoroughly and as intelligently in the fantasy space as Scott. And he, I'm proud to say, is a member of our Deep End Invitational Drafts, which continue tonight and tomorrow night. One of the best. Scott, thanks for your time today.
Wow. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me. Always a pleasure to come on.
I haven't finished it yet. I was reading your draft guide, and I love it's so sophisticated. I love how you can customize rankings to the site where you're drafting, and maybe people don't realize how big of a difference that can make. Like I was invited into one Yahoo league which drafted last night, and I did what I wanted. You know, I felt like I was going to take some of these, you know, the younger running backs later after starting with receivers, whatever quarterback I get 10 teams, you know. And so I'm vain, so I get the email from Yahoo. It's like, oh, here's your report card. And I click on the report card. There's a big fat F. And I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, arrogant about this stuff these days, but I took that as kind of a compliment. What do you think?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I have my home league over on Yahoo, and like every year, whoever gets the worst grade wins it. Whoever gets the A+ finishes dead last. I always get the Fs because I intentionally don't draft a kicker or defense. Like I'll take a, you know, high upside RB2, like a handcuff running back or something, and just drop them and pick up a quarterback and defense right before the season starts. And so they just automatically give you an F for that.
Yeah, the report card is seemingly how closely you drafted to their rankings.
Yeah, which are bad, which are really bad. They have, like, an underdog in FFPC, Malik Nabers is, like, borderline round two pick. On Yahoo, he's still round six somehow.
Yeah, somehow. Well, we've talked about the Bills not that long ago. You had questions about their receiver room and other things, too, and I mean, I don't know. I think it's more than anything else amazing how this has been transformed last year to this year. It doesn't necessarily have to be bad, but we've been talking about this every day. And it even got to the point, Scott, for me, where the Bills yesterday cut an undrafted free agent named Tyrell Shavers, who people were talking up during training camp and the preseason. And it was just like sort of another strike against to me. Like, just, it's almost been surreal trying on Claypool and MVS and Hamler and Isabella and all these guys. Here we are. I mean, it's five receivers. We don't know if Samuel's healthy. Shakir, Coleman, MVS, Mac Hollins. Is it not incredible how this has changed for the Bills?
Yeah, I think I said it last time. It feels like they're following the Kansas City model. You know, they had Tyreek Hill, best wide receiver in football, in my opinion, maybe the most valuable non-quarterback in real-life NFL football, and they got rid of him. They had arguably like the worst wide receiver core in the NFL for 2 years in a row, and they won the Super Bowl both years. And that seems like a natural consequence of, you know, you pay Josh Allen that money, you need him to be Superman, maybe lean a bit more on your defense, on the running game, which we did see following the play caller change last year. And you got this exciting young rookie, and or not rookie, sophomore tight end who, you know, maybe Dalton Kincaid could be their Travis Kelce. The offense runs through him as the number one receiver.
How realistic is that for you? I mean, I have no issue at all with the player. I think he made sense as a late first round pick athletically. It didn't make a lot of sense to me based on what position he goes by, but otherwise, you know, okay, I can mostly buy into this. Do you think we're going to get the kind of season that I would say they need from him to be able to call that a win, Kincaid? And in fantasy, if the answer is yes, that's huge.
I think the fantasy question is tougher from a real-life NFL perspective. Like, from an NFL perspective, I love the player. I'm so high on Dalton Kincaid. I think he has a tremendous upside. I think he can be your, you know, number one possession receiver. From a fantasy perspective, it's a little trickier. Just with the other tight end there, you really have it's difficult to ever see, you know, two tight ends who are heavily involved. One of the guys have a massive year for fantasy. You did see that with when Doug Peterson was with the Eagles. You had Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert. But they, like, lived in 12 – like, they played more 12 personnel than any offense we've seen in, like, 8 years. And they didn't have a wide receiver two on that team. They didn't have a wide receiver three on that team. And you see that in Kincaid's splits from last season. Mm-hmm. When Dawson Knox was on the field, you know, he was putting up – low-end tight end one numbers. When Knox was off the field, he was, you know, top five, one of the most top five valuable tight ends in fantasy with great volume. The one counter argument to this that I keep coming back to, which has me leaning into the upside argument, is that if you look at the 50 plays last year where Kincaid was on the field and Stephon Diggs was off the field, like 30 plays, basically like a typical game, you'd say – he scored like 39 fantasy points with like a 60% target share. It's possible. I just struggle to see it if Dawson Knox is going to be as heavily involved as the team keeps hinting at.
And Knox has a contract. I mean, that doesn't always need to matter or be what the team sort of leans on, but I think they've made an investment in him. He's part of the core of the Bills. And I think more importantly, as you've said already, if they want to be, if you will, more conservative, run the ball more, Knox is absolutely integral to that. And Kincaid absolutely isn't. I mean, he's not going to, you know, he's not going to block too often. He'll never pass block. So that sort of mutes my enthusiasm about him a little bit. Of the wide receivers, you know, they're all kind of going in the middle, not all of them, but say the top three, Coleman, Shakir, and Samuel. Who's your best bet?
Yeah, I'm not really targeting any of them, to be honest, in my own drafts. But best bet, I would say, is Keon Coleman. I wasn't the biggest fan of him heading into the draft, but obviously great immediate landing spot for fantasy. Guy's an elite touchdown scorer. Like, I never reference high school stats, but like as a junior in high school, he had something like 38 touchdowns on like 42 catches, which sounds almost impossible. And then his like first, you know, he steps foot in Buffalo Stadium for the first time ever, and he's like, oh, yeah, I just scored six imaginary touchdowns. And he was great at that in college, too. So I could see him getting double-digit touchdowns. Something like Gabe Davis and Stephon Diggs combined for, like, 90% of Buffalo's end zone targets last year. So plenty of touchdown opportunities for Keon Coleman.
That's an interesting area, and you're a great guy to ask this of. You talked a little bit about how you got to that that conclusion on Coleman, and you know, I don't like to refer to high school stats, but this is insane. What general process do you have when it comes to touchdowns? We talked about Knox a couple of years ago. Knox might have had 9 in a season, or 8 at least, but he never had the target share, didn't have the key numbers, and so I think it was a mistake at that time to predict that kind of season again for Knox, and that proved to be correct. But I don't want to dismiss touchdowns altogether, because there might be ways to predict it smartly.
Yeah, so, you know, the projections process always starts on a team level, is how many touchdowns do we expect the team to score? And, you know, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills, so we're expecting a lot, hopefully a lot. And then you remove a Stephon Diggs, you remove a Gabe Davis. You saw that really valuable near end zone usage or inside the end zone usage. And so I have a stat called XTD, expected touchdowns, where it just looks at, you know, deep targets, you're more likely to score a touchdown. If you're standing in the end zone, you're more likely to score a touchdown. Or if you get targeted inside the red zone, you're more likely to score a touchdown. And so, yeah, looking back at last year's stats, I don't have the exact number, but it was something like 92% of all end zone targets went to those two receivers who are no longer on the team. So, yeah, that's good for Kincaid. You know, wasn't really a prolific touchdown scorer. It was more of like a PPR machine. And then Keon Coleman, who just has tremendous height, he scored 11 touchdowns last year. Florida State, I don't know if you know their receiving core, but like every guy there is 6'6 or taller. And so to me, he stands out as the one to benefit the most. But like I said, I didn't love his separation abilities. I didn't love his route running. So some concerns with the yardage, but if you're in a standard league or a half PPR league, I like the touchdown upside a lot.
Scott Barrett, Fantasy Points, my guest on the Wester Hotline. Mike Shope here, Bulldog, is off this week. Let's transition from that point to talking more about drafts this year and players on other teams. The Bills, speaking of touchdowns, last year on offense alone had 51. I mean, that's a good number. The Jets had 18. 18 offensive touchdowns. No games were canceled. 17 games. How about that? But here we are in the year 2024, Scott, and two Jets go in the first round almost every time. Breece Hall, of course. You have him as a top three pick. And Garrett Wilson, you know, sometimes at least, goes late first round. Is that pretty safe? Maybe it's different for each guy, but we had one of our colleagues on earlier.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Joe DiBiase, and he said that Ben Roethlisberger has thrown for 300 yards in a game more recently than Aaron Rodgers has. You know, there's a long list of guys that have done it. I know he missed a season. How confident are we in that offense?
Yeah, I know you don't want to hear it, but I'm a big believer in the Jets this year. I place bets on them to win MVP, Aaron Rodgers to win, or Rodgers to win MVP, Jets to win the Super Bowl. I did that like before the schedule release. Now the prices have jumped quite a bit. But, yeah, I mean, it's just you went from like the worst quarterback in potentially like the worst quarterback in decades, and Zach Wilson just looking at EPA per play or depth adjusted completion per, like any number you want to look at, the guy is so, so bad. And there's tremendous upside with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, Ben Roethlisberger had a more recent 300-yard game, but the guy played three snaps last year before getting hurt.
Yep.
The year before that, he played with a broken thumb to his throwing hand for, I don't know, 60% of the year. And then before that, he won back-to-back MVPs. So, like, you could replace, like, even if he's perfectly average this year, the jump from Zach Wilson to a perfectly average player is exponential. And from a real football standpoint, this is still, in my opinion, like an easy top three defense in the NFL. And now you don't have a guy who's getting sacked every third drop back and turning the ball over every other drive. I think they're going to be a really good team. And from an offensive standpoint, yeah, I expect a massive jump. But like one of the great things about this offense is just how highly concentrated it is. Garrett Wilson, according to our metrics, is easily a top three separator in the NFL today. So he's going to get the ball. He's going to get his targets. And then Breece Hall, you look at what he did. You know, it took him a while to get fully back from that ACL surgery for the team to really trust him. But when you look at what he did over his last eight or so games, you're talking about volume and usage that we've only ever seen from the Christian McCaffrey, LaDainian Tomlinson, Brian Westbrook, Steven Jacksons of the world, with insane efficiency on top of that, despite, you know, being a really bad team where they knew you were going to try and run the ball every play.
The comparison most often heard is Breece Hall versus Bijan Robinson in fantasy drafts, always like right next to each other, pretty even split the way I hear people in the industry talk. Similar, perhaps, at least on some level, Atlanta with their projections last year to this year, or their results last year to this year's projections. You know, we have a lot of that potentially in the league this year. Tennessee might be completely different. Chicago, everybody expects, will be completely different, you know, going into the past, the Caleb Williams era. How do you figure out Bijan or Breece? Like, if you're drafting a lot, maybe it doesn't matter that you have a take one way or the other, but if you had one draft?
Yeah, it's Breece. He was the RB2 last year, and like the worst potential environment, worst quarterback in football, major upgrade, bottom five offensive line, major upgrade there. He was 9 months removed from ACL surgery in week one. You know, he was not getting the volume in the first half of the year. Jets trailed on 66% of their offensive plays. That was second worst. They ranked dead last in red zone drives per game. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But still, what did you see? Week 12 on, 15.1 carries per game, 7.9 targets per game. There's only ever been eight instances in NFL history of a running back eclipsing 15 carries, 7.5 targets per game in a full season. So just insane volume. I like the offensive environment. I believe in the player. So to me, that's easy. But the way I have it, CMC is my 101. Breece is my 102. Bijan's my 103. So it is tight. Really do like to pay a premium for the highest end running backs. And then there's a fall off where I'm not too excited to draft them after that. But yeah, Breece for me, RB2.
Mm-hmm. I know from reading your draft guide, you're big on Malik Nabers this year. Going back to the beginning of our conversation and some of the problems you can run into with rankings, you know, from the bigger sites, like Yahoo hated my Xavier Worthy pick in round 7 or something like that. I just hated it. That's really why I got my F, I know. But it seems to me that there's an edge in being, you know, willing, at least even eager, to go after rookies. We've had so many great rookie wide receiver seasons. Neighbors, and then like how many guys are there for you this year? Not that you have to count them, but is it a lot? I mean, you get into the second round and you have McConkey and Coleman and Polk and even guys drafted, Mitchell drafted after that. If you're into this kind of thing, wide receivers, rookie wide receivers, there's a lot to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's historically a great bet to make, is betting on the rookie wide receivers. Lots of upside there. And you see this trend every year where it's like, you know, in June, every fantasy analyst is like, you buy up the rookie wide receivers. There's underrated upside there. They're more productive in the second half of the year, which is when points matter the most. And then preseason games start happening. And so, like, a Jalen Polk isn't running with the starters in preseason. Everyone panics. Everyone pushes him down off the board. And, yeah, I'm trying to keep a level head. Knew this was likely to happen. I'm excited about a, you know, obviously Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Xavier Worthy. These stand out most. Romo Dunze, Brian Thomas Jr., Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman, and a super deep sleeper, I guess. Oh, Jalen Polk, super deep sleeper. Maybe Luke McCaffrey is the slot in that Cliff Kingsbury offense. I think that's a smart bet. And, like, looking at the price on all these guys, I think they're all, you know, worthy of their price at the very least.
This is super deep, but when we were talking about receiver before the Bills draft, of course, like we were, Brendan Rice is somebody that had a little bit of buzz there for a minute. Not all the best measurables, but he ends up going in round 7 to the Chargers, made the team. This is Jerry Rice's son. I mean, this is not a player you should have to draft in your home leagues or even, dare I say it, in the deep end invitational, but I don't know, maybe someone will tonight.
Man, he flashed in the preseason a little bit. He was getting run with the starters for a little bit there.
All right.
And you made one good play.
How about the first round receivers, Scott? So Nabers doesn't quite get there, but Harrison does. We talked about Wilson. There's really been a cluster of players this year that seem largely interchangeable. Do you have any thoughts on, like, who you would prioritize? I mean, it's Tyreek, Jefferson, Chase, Lamb, of course, but maybe above all of them.
Yeah, Lamb, Tyreek, Jefferson. Right now, Amon-Ra St. Brown over Chase, just given the uncertainty regarding the contract. Then Garrett Wilson, then A.J. Brown. And then there's this gigantic, disgusting tier. Like, it's not disgusting. Like, I'd be so happy to have any of these guys on my team. It just feels so deep and not necessarily in line with ADP. And so my wide receiver 8, which is like a bit of a hot take, is Cooper Kupp. And so he's someone you can get still round 3 on ESPN, round 3 on Yahoo. And I have him as my wide receiver 8. So
you have him, and you have Nacua at 13, which is maybe as low as I've seen.
Yeah, it's just, you know, everyone's worried about injury with Cooper Kupp, but he's the one who's fully healthy. Puka Nacua is the one who's banged up. I talked to my Rams sources. They're like, no. Cooper Kupp is the alpha of this offense. You know, no one knows just how badly he was banged up last year. Like, it was a miracle he was even on the field. And now he's fully healthy, like, one up for the first time in potentially years. And so it's like an upside downside thing. And what is Cooper Kupp's upside? It's the most of any player in fantasy football history. He's exceeded 16 fantasy points in 26, or there was a streak where he exceeded 16 fantasy points in 26 of 27 full games, averaging over 25.8 fantasy points per game over that span. Jerry Rice has never, in a 27-game streak, reached those numbers. And so it's like, if this guy was never hurt last year, would we be taking him mid-round 1? I think there's a really good chance we could. Yeah, Puka obviously had an amazing breakout, best rookie season ever, but we know Stafford and McVay are sort of kingmakers for wide receiver 1s. There's also been word among the beat writers that they were just like, he was a little too banged up, a little too overused last year. And so I don't know. I feel good about it. Just looking at that upside, the fact that he's finally supposedly fully healthy.
Very good. Scott, I've taken a lot of your time. I know you've got much, I'm sure, tons of preparation to do as well. So in drafts, like even maybe tonight's coming up. Great work.
Well, I was actually in the middle of one when you called.
Oh, really?
I just got auto picked on Underdog. No. Yeah, but that's no problem.
Oh, no.
I'd well, be happier just talking to you. Yeah.
That can work.
I in round 3 anyway, so no worries.
That what's the difference in round 3, right? Pretty much. I mean, structure. But yes, maybe that'll pay off for you. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Scott Barrett, fantasypoints.com, really is and kind of an incredible. He really writes at fantasypoints.com. So he's got a draft guide. There's much more on that site as well. Tonight, what I'm referring to is the fantasy podcast I have with Adam Krautwurst, The Deep End. We have 4 industry expert drafts. One is tonight. We're not actually, we usually live stream them, but there's another podcast called Ship Chasing that is like the guys on that show are all in this draft tonight. So I've been asked to host over there, which I'll do. And that should be really fun. Excited about that. Time for a break. Greg Rousseau scheduled to join next. Sal will visit at 5. We'll catch up on moves that were and weren't made today. The practice squad was put together, and also any practice nuggets that we have, injury updates and that sort of thing. It's pretty much here. Next week, Thursday night, the opener, Bills and Cardinals the following Sunday. Thanks for being with me, Mike Shope. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.